the gospel of Jesus Christ through the mouths of our children. May the Lord our God bring their hearts and minds into conformity with what they have sung this evening. And may He bring our hearts and our minds into conformity with that good gospel. If you have your Bibles this evening, I would invite you to take them, please, and turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. The Word of God says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons." In these two verses, we learn that Jesus came in a certain way, and He came for a certain purpose. First, let's consider the way the Lord Jesus Christ came. Verse 4 says that God sent His Son. That is it. The birth of Jesus was no ordinary birth. The birth of Jesus was that event by which God the Son, God Himself, entered into the world some 2,010 years ago. And when Christ entered the world, the angels praised Him as God. The shepherds paid Him homage. The magi from the east bowed down before Him and gave Him gifts as God. But all of those accolades pale in comparison to what He really deserved. Christ's entrance into this world was the entrance of God into history in a unique way, in an enfleshed way. But verse 4 also says that Jesus was born of a woman. That is, just as Jesus was fully God, fully divine in every respect, the fact that He was born of a woman points to the reality that He is fully man. Think about the way kings might enter the world or enter into their kingdom. How might we expect a king to enter His kingdom? You might expect great fanfare, pomp and ceremony, a display of strength and power and force with all the accoutrements and regalia of the kingdom and of the courtroom of the king. The earthly king of this time, Julius or Augustus Caesar, was conducting a census in order to show the world how great he was. But at this time, our God entered into the world not to show His greatness, but to humble Himself. And Jesus did not reveal Himself with a show of force. He didn't come with might or power. Instead, Jesus entered the world by being born of a woman. And that tells us something of God's own character. That God, when He chose to reveal Himself for this first time, He chose to reveal Himself with humility and meekness. The God of the universe came as a baby. He came to identify Himself with us as our representative. The Bible teaches us that Jesus was born of a woman so that He could sympathize with us. Hebrews says that a priest can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weaknesses. The human nature of Christ, by comparison to the divine nature of Christ, was weak. Weak. That Jesus had to grow in knowledge and wisdom in His human nature. The human nature of Christ did not have all knowledge and wisdom. The human nature of Christ had to learn obedience, we're told in Hebrews, though He never sinned. So it's not that the human nature of Christ had to learn not to sin and to obey, but rather to obey God in every circumstance. He had to learn wisdom. Think of the Garden of Gethsemane, when He said, "If there's any other way, let this cup pass from me." And in His human nature, he writhed in anguish and turmoil in His soul. It's not that He didn't want to obey God. It's that He had to learn how to obey God, to go to the cross and to die in the place of wretches like us. Someone who only knows power cannot sympathize with the weak. But Jesus can deal gently with you and with me because he himself was beset with the weakness of a human nature. And you can approach Jesus because he sympathizes with us and because he's gentle. The picture we have of Jesus is not a frightening picture. The children were drawn to him. They felt free enough in the presence of our Lord to go to him. He evidently didn't speak with an intimidating tone, but was soft-spoken. Scripture says he never quarreled or cried aloud, that no one ever heard his voice in the streets. And so Jesus was born of a woman to sympathize with our weaknesses and to make himself approachable by us. How can you approach the God of gods? Glory, holiness, excellence, beauty, untouchable majesty. Isaiah couldn't. When Isaiah saw the glory of God, just in part, he fell on his face undone. God is unapproachable, but Christ is approachable because he is man. That's why Jesus came as a man. He was born of a woman so that he would identify with us and so that he could be our substitute and our representative. The blood of the animals in the Old Testament could no way substitute for human sin. There is an absolute inequality between an animal and a human being. There's no way an animal could be our substitute and take our sin. And so Jesus had to be born as a man, as a human being, that he would identify with us and that he could substitute for us and die in our place. So Jesus came, born of a woman. Also in verse 4, we see that another way Jesus came was under the law, that Christ came to keep the whole law of God. And you know what he did? He kept the law of God in order to earn the law's blessing, and he kept the law of God in order to pay the law's penalty. He earned the law's life blessing, and he paid the law's death penalty. We sinners cannot keep God's law. We need Jesus to be our substitute if we're to be saved. Think about some of the ways that Christ kept the law of God. This is the reason we love him. He was kind and gracious toward the ignorant disciples who never seemed to get it right. He was a servant to the masses even when they sought to take advantage of him. He continued to give himself to them. He was joyful in the Lord his God. God the Father, trusting him in the face of danger. He resisted the devil in the wilderness when the devil tried to lure him into covetousness and idolatry. He told the truth even when it cost him his life, and he shut his mouth even when he could have defended himself. He never stole anything, but always served and gave to others. He treated women with respect and grace, and he never took advantage of them. Most of all, he loved his heavenly Father, and he glorified him in all of his life and with all of his life. And so we love Christ because he was a law keeper. We love the Lord Jesus because Jesus was good in every respect. And so Jesus came in a certain way. Verse 4 tells us that Jesus came as a Son of God, born of a woman, born under the law. But verse 5 tells us that Jesus came for certain purposes. That is, Christ came for a reason. The first reason he came was to redeem those who were under the law. Now, this word redeem means to buy out of slavery. It doesn't just mean to release from slavery. It doesn't just mean to let a slave go. It means to buy that slave. There's a price that has to be paid. And then you don't buy the slave, if you're redeeming the slave, to re-enslave him. You buy the slave to give him freedom and let him go, if you are redeeming the slave. Our world is a world that's enslaved to sin under the law. But Jesus walked into the slave market of the world and purchased slaves not to re-enslave us, but to give us freedom in him. Perhaps you are under the law this morning or this evening. God sees your sins. God knows your heart perfectly, better than you do. He knows your mind inside and out. He knows every action you have performed this week, every thought that's crossed your mind, every single thing you've done. He knows you fully, and there is nowhere to flee from His all-seeing and all-knowing eye. And you know in your heart and in your conscience that you've sinned. You may seek to repress that, to push it down into a corner of your soul and not to acknowledge it. You may find ways to justify it or run from it, but you really do know that you are a sinner. The Bible confirms this. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The law of God commands, do not lie. Do not covet. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Remember the Sabbath. Honor your father and your mother. Do not take God's name in vain and have no other gods in His sight. Maybe your sin enslaves you. Maybe you're enslaved by guilt, that in the court of your conscience, there's a cry that you are guilty. And you may try to silence your conscience, but your conscience won't be quiet. It plagues you. You're a slave to guilt. Or maybe you're enslaved to an addiction to your sin. You know you should stop sinning because the sin is wrong and because it brings misery on you and on everyone else around you. So you know you should stop, but you cannot stop sinning because you are a slave to your passions. Well, I want to tell you tonight that if your conscience is crying out of your guilt, your conscience is right. You are guilty. You deserve eternal torment in hell. Scripture says the wages of sin is death, and these will go away into eternal punishment. And Revelation chapter 14 says, and they will be tormented, that means tortured, in the presence of the holy angels. Holy angels are there. And in the presence of the Lamb. Jesus is there. Jesus is not present to bless in hell. He is present to vent the fullness of the divine wrath upon those who are in hell. As a slave to guilt and to sin, you need a redeemer. You need the Lord Jesus to purchase you from the slave market of sin and to set you free. But because God is holy, He cannot simply overlook your sin. He cannot turn a blind eye to your rebellion against Him. Because God is holy, He cannot simply release you from the debtor's prison that you are in. God cannot overlook your sin. He can't simply cut the chains of your slavery. What would you think of a judge who acquitted criminals, though they're convicted, and though the evidence of guilt against them is unquestionable? That would be an unjust judge. But God is holy. God is a just judge, and God will not wink at your sin. That's why Jesus Christ came. To redeem us, to purchase our freedom, to buy us out of bondage. Our freedom was very costly to Christ. It cost Him His whole life and death. To buy our freedom, Jesus lived a life of perfect obedience to the law of God. He earned freedom by His life and by His meritorious obedience and death. And so verse 5 teaches that the purpose Christ came was to redeem those who were under the law. The second purpose for which Christ came was that we might receive adoption as sons. So God not only in Christ liberates those who are in bondage to their sin and to guilt, He takes the liberated former addict to sin and convicted criminal into His home and receives this one as His child and bestows upon this one every blessing in Christ. What love, what grace. If you are in bondage to sin and to guilt, will you come to Christ to be a child of God? Will you come to Jesus? John chapter 1, verse 12 says, "But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." You want to be a child of God? Then receive him and believe in his name. Trust in the Lord Jesus to bear the full weight of your sin and the wrath of God in your place. Depend upon him to absorb the fullness of God's fury. Rely upon him as your only hope in life and in death. You say, "Brother Tom, that's too easy." You're saying, "All I have to do is receive him and believe in him?" Yes. That's what I'm saying. In one sense, that's very easy. But it's harder than you think to trust someone else to earn your salvation for you. It means you have to abandon every effort to appease God and to win his favor. It means you have to stop trying to win his approval. It means you have to admit that you are not good and that you never will be good enough. And that's a very hard thing for sinners to do. In fact, it's impossible without the Spirit at work upon your heart. But if you would have God to be your Father and Christ as your brother, the Bible says, receive him and believe on his name. Stop trusting yourself and your own wisdom and your own goodness. Trust Jesus to pay for your sins. Depend on Jesus and he will save you. Are you weary of your sin and your rebellion? Are you just tired of it? Does it exhaust you? Does the misery of your sin exhaust you? Well, the good news is that Jesus is approachable. He's human and God, and you can come to him, and he will receive you, and he will not turn you away. And this approachable Christ said, "Come to me, all who are weary and labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Come to Christ today, beloved. Do not delay. Come to Christ and find rest in him. Christmas is not about, ultimately, about feasting, shopping, presents, and vacationing, as distracting as all those things are, and some of those things are good things. But Christmas is ultimately about God coming humbly into the world to rescue poor, little, miserable sinners like us, to make them his children, and to glorify himself in them. To him be the glory. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful that you did not leave us to die in our sin and misery, that you did not leave us stinking in a pool of our own destruction, but that you chose to send your Son into this world to redeem us, to buy us out of slavery, to set us free in Christ, free to love you, free to obey you, free from guilt and condemnation. We praise you, Father, for this great and glorious gospel of grace. And I pray that if there's any here tonight who does not know you, that they would fly to you and find salvation in your Son. In Jesus' holy name, amen.